Oh, no, no, you don't do that. Praise God, you go get you some sheep. Need a shepherd. Yeah. And then when the chief shepherd shall appear, you'll receive a crown of glory. Fadeth not away. God put these sheep in my care. Wonderful. All right. The Bible said then, because they gave as the little flock of Christ and laid up a treasure in heaven, with great power, this is Acts 4:33, with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. You see the results of that unity of the faith and of the Spirit? The results are tremendous. We're not going to have the work of restoration, and the ministry of restoration is not going to be implemented until God's people come into the unity of the Spirit and the faith of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that means we agree on everything.
Amen.
And we speak with one mind and one voice.
Amen.
Foot that's getting out of everybody preaching everything that comes to their mind won't work. Never happened. See, neither was there any that lacked, or as many as were possessors of lands, plural, or houses, plural, sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet. Then they made distribution according to the needs of the saints. And Joseph, who by the apostles were surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, that's where they were fighting, he had land, and he sold it, and brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. In the next chapter, we find two members, Ananias and Sapphira, that had surplus property. They had an extra piece of land. They sold it. They pledged it, but when they got the money, it was too much to give to a holiness preacher. Holiness preacher ain't supposed to have much money, is he? That's what they thought. Well, they didn't have much, but God wanted them to have more than they had. But Ananias and Sapphira both dropped dead in the church of the living God at the apostles' feet that they lied to.
Yes.
About what? Their talent. Money! They lied about money! Hey, you know we're in a ministry. Paul had helpers all over the place, and so did Jesus. And if you don't think they didn't need some help, I want you to listen here first to what it says about Jesus' helpers. Jesus had some helpers. Turn to Luke, the 8th chapter. You'll find out here that them people had to get money to help him, and it was those apostles. God used them. Chapter 8, St. Luke's Gospel, verse 1. It came to pass afterward that he, that's Christ, went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, as women, ministered unto him of what? Substance, something you could feel, money, with Caesar's picture on it. I like them things to pay God's bills with Caesar's picture on the front of it. U.S. currency. And that's your talent. That's your talent. When you don't use your money for God, you have your talent buried, and you'll get the same reward that that unprofitable servant did in Matthew 25, down in verse 29 and 30, 28, 29, and 30. Jesus said, "You wicked and slothful servant, you took my talent, my money, and you buried it. You wouldn't use it. Why didn't you use it? Why didn't you put it to the exchanges so at my coming I would receive my money back with usury?" If you're a servant of God, your money belongs to God too. It belongs where your heart is, by the way. All right, you want to see something else about that, of course. The fact that your money belongs to the Lord. Money. We got to recognize here that the Bible said in verse 37, having sold land, they brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Paul the Apostle. Let's take a look at him now in Romans the 16th chapter and see about his helpers and what they did. "I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister of the church at Cenchrea, receiver in the Lord has become his saints, a sister. She hath been a succor of many, and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also the churches of the Gentiles." He goes on down here and speaks about these and how they supported Paul and took care of his necessities. And he writes to the church at Philippi, and he says, "You're the only one that ministered to me and assisted me in concerning giving and receiving. You only." That's in the fourth chapter of Ephesians, or Philippians rather, where Paul is writing there when he says, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." In verse 13, verse 19, he says, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." In between, he said, "You Philippians know in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again into my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account." Hey, folks, you ain't going to get no reward without using your money. And if a man of God needs helpers, he don't need big mouths. He needs you to give your money, your means. Praise God. But he says, "I have all in abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." Praise God. Hey, he said, "I'm the minister, the voice. I'm the one that God gave this dispensation of restoration and the proliferation of the gospel throughout the Roman Empire. The dispensation of this ministry was laid at my charge. I'm responsible for it. And you did well that you have communicated with me and shared in this blessing, or rather in this burden, so you can likewise share in the benefit that results from it." You want the result, you like, oh God, most Christians are like Esau. Man, they don't want the birthright, that's too much responsibility, but they want the blessing. Yeah. "Oh, my father, don't you have one blessing for me?" Yeah, the old codger, like most Christians, he wanted the blessing, but he didn't want the birthright. That was the responsibility. That's the way most Christians are today. But I'm going to tell you, beloved, the blessing is not... You don't get the good out of the blessing like you do. As Paul said, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. The birthright is the vital part of what comes through grace, is getting the birthright. If you don't ever get the blessing, you go to heaven, you're in good shape. But if you get the blessing and miss the birthright, you've lost everything. God help us to understand that a man of God needs helpers, and he needs you to give. What can you do? What am I going to do? What do you need done, man of God? Oh, well, it takes all we've got to live on. Wait a minute. You ain't got no business around complaining when you got a man, there's a man and wife, and you don't have what you need and something to really support God's work with. You're not worth the salt to go in your bread. Get your wife and put her to work. Oh, somebody cries out, "God told me to quit when I started preaching." No, he didn't. If you heard from God, he told you to go to work. Oh, lazy preachers. A lot of Christians don't have a thing in the world hardly they can do for God. Just always in debt and bent out of shape and alibiing for failure. Put your wife to work. Your son and daughter to work. Don't let them lay around the house. God have mercy's sake. You say, "Well, I thought the Bible said a woman ought to be chaste keepers at home." Yeah, when she's not working. Amen. Praise God. As she gets off the job, let her be chaste and a keeper at home. Amen. That's what the Bible says. You want me to read it to you? Let me read it to you, please. Turn to 1 Timothy, the 5th chapter. 1 Timothy 5. Verse 15, talking about, or verse 13, talking about women. "With all they learn to be idle, wandering about house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers, also in busybodies, speaking things they ought not. I will therefore the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to speak reproachfully, for some are already turned aside after Satan." Mm-hmm. All right. That's wonderful, isn't it? How about Ruth back in the Bible days? The book of Ruth, chapter 2. She came out of Moab with her mother-in-law. Her husband had died over in the land of Moab. She said, "Don't you entreat me to leave you or return from following after thee, for where you go, I'll go. Where you lodge, I'll lodge. Where your people will be my people, your God, my God. Where you die, I'll die, there I'll be buried." And God do more so to me if aught but death separate us. And boy, they went into Bethlehem. Shoot. Next day, Ruth said, hey, I need to get out and get a job. I need to go get a job. You know what she did? She went out and looked up a field where there's young men working, gleaning the crops there in the fall. She went out and gleaned. That night, she brought home a bundle of grain on her shoulder. The necessities were met. And she worked throughout the whole harvest. And the Bible said, from light till dark. And she, I got to work when I get home. Well, good. That's what you ought to do. That's wonderful. Praise God. I'd like to get out and shout. Watch you. I like to see people work. Praise God. My wife's worked and had to come home, wash clothes, iron, scrub. Good. Lord have mercy. Do what the rest of you does. Take a bath and wash your hair. Yeah. She's worked. Canning plants, restaurants, a lot of hard work.